the mess. Fight the, it's all the enemy. Come on, let's be free here. You pray for those in authority. I don't care who they are. You pray that God's will be done. And recognize who is causing the havoc. It's Satan himself. So you begin to bind and you begin to loose the righteousness of God to have a place in the land. You got it? Don't get stuck. Don't get caught in the darkness. Stay free and pray according to God's will. Who do we serve? Who's in control? Who has a purpose and plan for the earth? Okay, how do we forget that? Don't be bewitched like the Galatians were. Pray. Don't defend. Whose side you on? I'm on the Lord's side. And I'm praying that his will be done in the earth. You got it? All right, I wanted to share that. And then the Lord has been talking to me about love all week. And sometimes the Lord comes to me with a first principle of the Bible, the enemy will immediately come in and say, but they know about love. They know how to love me. They know I love them, but do you really? And see, that's where the enemy will trick us. Because sometimes we will relate what we know in the third dimensional and try to make it effective in the fourth. It doesn't work. We try to take what we know love to be here and apply it to the love we have for God. It won't work. And so the Lord was speaking to me about love and love, and Sister Janice so eloquently spoke about love yesterday. She didn't even know. It was just beautiful. Love, love, love. Well, I came to the conclusion, we know God loves us. We ought to be at a point in our life where we know that God loves us unconditionally. There's nothing you can do to make him stop loving you. Whether you want to believe it or not, you can take your time, waste all this energy saying God done because I fail, I stumble. But God loves you regardless. You can't change it. You're just wasting time. So get about the pit, get about the rut, and just go ahead and accept his unconditional love. Okay? You can kill. You can be a murderer. You can be an adulterer. God still loves you. I'm just sorry about it. He just loves you regardless. So stop the pity party. But the question God put in my heart, he wanted me to ask you all, do you love him? And in your mind, you may think you do. But we're going to talk about some things today. Because just maybe the way you love God is not the way he expects you to love him. Just maybe. And as I began to study, I wasn't condemned, but I was convicted and excited at the same time. Because I say, Lord, thank you for showing me where I may have been missing the mark. You know, sometimes when you have children, and they're your children, they just naturally love you. But sometimes it has to be a little bit more than the feely-feely. Sometimes they need to do what you say. Sometimes they need to obey. To me, that's more a signal that they love you, because that's showing me that you respect me, you trust me, and you're going to do as I say. All this little feely-feely huggy and petting on the back, see, that can be hypocritical. Because the main thing we want to know when someone begins like that, what do you want? How much money you need now? Where did you wreck the car? Am I right? It's almost like something's up. Because all that feely-feely natural feeling that you're showing towards me, something's just not right about it. You got to go a little further than that. You got to start obeying and respecting and walking in integrity. Now you're showing me you love me. So we're going to talk about that today. Do you love God? And the question is not to bring condemnation, just to give us some clear thinking. It's time to grow up, am I right? Because we don't want to dance all the way to destruction. You know, and thinking we're going to the house of God. And we get to his door and someone says, U-turn, wait a minute, what do you mean U-turn? Because when God was speaking, and when God was pulling, and when God was trying to show, you thought you really knew how, and you avoided his voice. What do you call that? You call that pride. Do you love God? Now, as I said, Pastor's been teaching on hearing God, and And we have a right to get excited. Anytime we receive revelation, have you got a revelation on how to hear from God now? And it's wonderful. You know, we've been taught, we receive the revelation. And you do need to expect to hear from God, because we are, we have, we will hear from God. And because the Father knows this, and he knows that the way has been prepared for him to come into a pure heart and clean hands, he know we're going to hear his voice. So he took me to Ezekiel 22:37-39, just to give us this nugget of wisdom. Ezekiel 33, and I'm going to start in 30, and I'm going to read through 32. God never reveals something without coming back and giving us wisdom. Wisdom is how to apply what you know to be true. I can give you a lot of truth, and if you don't wait for the wisdom, you'll go out and make the truth into a lie or of no effect. So God is teaching us on how to hear his voice, because it's very important. Now he comes with this wisdom. And I'm reading out of the NIV. You may have the King James, but starting with verse 3, he says, "As for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other," talking about Ezekiel now, "come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouths, they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well. For they hear your words, but they do not put them into practice." You come and hear Pastor George because he sings well. And you come because the praise and worship team harmonize well. You come because Zach can tear up the drums. Hallelujah. But you're not coming to hear the word of God, and definitely not to put them into practice. Your heart is far from God. Now, I've been there. I went to some church because I heard they had a great choir. My heart wasn't to go hear the word of God. And if that particular choir didn't sing, I was disappointed. I went to hear the lovely songs. The word of God? Come on now, let's tip out once the message starts. So, what does it really mean to love God? Going to church every day? Come on in, brother, there's plenty of room. Doing religious acts? Raising your hands in church, teaching Bible study, praying frequently. And see, that's why I love God, because if you notice during praise and worship day, we start out with love songs. I was just taken up. And then God took us into some wonderful praise and worship. We were raising our hands, doing all the right things. But the question is, do you love God? I'm not saying this to condemn anybody, just convicting so we can teach. So when we do enter into, it's for real. Am I right? God gives us visuals. So now you can know exactly what I'm talking about when I get to the part where we're talking about natural feelings. So as we begin to worship and praise God and love him, let's not let our hearts be far from worshiping the one and true God. We should be just as excited about hearing the word. And not only hearing the word, but writing it down so we can begin to live the word. Because the word is what set us free. Amen. Matthew 22:37-39 says this: "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Now, they said this is the first and great commandment. Now, I'm going to write a word down here. Pastor, help me. A-G-A-P-A-O. A, G-A-P-A-O. G-A-P-A-O. Small A. And put next to that hyphen to put verb, V-E-R-B. That's a verb. Small A. And then we're going to put A-G-A-P-E, capital A-G-A-P-E. That's a noun. This is my assistant. My anointed assistant. E. And that's the noun. Agapio and agape. Agapio and agape, both Greek words. Thank you, Pastor. That's the noun. Now, when I read, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, that's a verb. I'm going to tell you what it means in a minute, because I don't want you to get it mixed up with the noun agape. Agape is that unconditional love that flows from the Father to us. Unconditional. We talked about that earlier. Nothing you can do to prevent God from loving you. That's agape love. That is not the verb that's being used in this scripture. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. This means to totally give yourselves over to it, to be totally consumed with it, to be totally committed to it. When we agapio, when we love like this, what we're doing, we're putting first in our lives what is important. All our intentions, listen to me now, all our intentions, all our abilities are focused and consumed with this one thing. It's like a commitment of binding ourselves to something so that we become one with it. Do you love God? Do you love God? Do you agapio God? Are you committed to him? Are you sold out to him? Are you one with him? Are you consumed with him? We need to reflect for just a minute. I turn to the book of John 17, 20 through 23. You don't have to, if you want to go there, fine, but I want to read this to you. John 17, because see, being committed, loving God, agapioing God means that we're one with him. We do as he does. Jesus saw the Father, whatever the Father did, he did. So when someone comes and asks you, do you love God? Don't be too rash. Because we do not want to be liars. But if you don't know the truth, the enemy can keep you in ignorance and will never grow in the commitment that God requires of his people. We're his children. He loves us. The question is, do you love me? God says, do you love me? In John 17, 20 through 23, it reads, this is Jesus praying. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That verb love there is agapio. Commitment. Commitment to one. See, that's true unity. Commitment to one another, one in one another. I'm your brother, you're my sister in Christ. We have one mind of Christ because we're committed. We love God, sold out to him, binded to him. So we're one. We agapio each other. And that's why you have to be very careful. I love you, sister. How can I say I love her, committed to her, binded to her, when I go out and talk about her? We see, you liars will not inherit the kingdom of God. And as we begin to mature in the things of God, God will begin to show us areas where we need to grow up in. Because, see, as we're growing, you're not going to be held accountable for everything. But once you know the truth and that you continue to not do the truth, then you what?
Right.
You sin.
That's right.
You cannot keep going around nonchalantly says, you know, I'm under the blood and that sin's under the blood. But you know it's wrong. Why are you continuing to do it? We are supposed to agapeo one another. So if you come to me and you say you love me, please mean it. If not, you don't have to say it. Until you can get to that point in your life where you can say it, and that's how we build trust. Well, you know, she's not going to say she loved me if she don't really, if she's not there yet. We get caught up in so many traditions and religious acts that we just take it for granted. It's expected for me to say I love you when my heart is far from it. I don't love you. I can't wait till you get out of my face so I can begin to talk about you. Because that perfume you got on might make me throw up. And you were supposed to do such and such for me the other day, and you didn't bother to call and tell me you weren't even coming. Oh, please. Girl, I love you too. I can't wait. See, because I'm going to call my best bud, and I'm going to talk to her about you. Now I have drawn someone else into my evilness. But yet we're supposed to be committed. We're supposed to agapeo one another. We have to be very careful how we use that term. Now, we want to grow in that. So when I come up and say to you, Gary, I love you, I'm saying it with a pure heart. Because I know what I'm saying. I know exactly. I'm committed to praying for you. I'm committed to loving you. I'm committed to being there for you. I'm committed to that. The Bible says, you know, Jesus, doesn't he admonish us to put you before me? That's commitment. Someone else get a new car, we're not glad, we're jealous. Almost to the point that the jealousy is so felt that people are afraid to share their blessings because they feel your hypocritical love. Girl, I love you, child, giving you the biggest hug. And all of a sudden, you say, oh, she got that from? I'm getting this crazy. Just had one. Then she went and got another. Girl, I love you. And you think the Lord isn't looking on your heart. And he sees her and it grieves him. But yet we'll tell some girl, I love the Lord. No, you don't. Say that again.
How can you love him if you don't love your brother?
You can see your brother. You can't even love your brother that you can see. But you say you love Jesus who you cannot. And the Bible says the world will know that we are his disciples because we are agapeo one another. See, we take that word love so frivolously because it's we think it's a kind of natural love that we show one another. We so used to being insincere with one another, that kind of love is easy because it brings no commitment. It brings no integrity. It brings no loyalty. I can say I love you today, Vera, and I won't have to see you the next Sunday. I don't love you because I'm not committed to you. So we get a little frivolous with the way we use love. Now, you know what? These are serious times. You cannot come and hear the word of God, as James says, and turn and not walk in what you know to be true. You've forgotten who you are. You will never, ever grow. Do you agape your love? Do you agape your God? Do you love him? Now, let me say something. Commitment, this agapeo love can be either to man, to things in the world, or to God. Your choice. Choose you this day who you gonna serve. See, some of us got a little bit going to God, a little bit going to the world, and a little bit going to man. But yet we tell people we love God. God says he is not going to share with anybody. He wants all of it. But we think it's okay that we give some of our commitment and some of our loyalty to the world. We call that compromising. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to give a little bit of it, all our love to our family. Keep on. They're going to kill you. They will kill you, dig you up out the grave, and kill you again. Repetitive. They will control you. But God says, I didn't tell you give you that love anyway. Your commitment, your loyalty, your binding should be to me and me alone. Let me be on the throne of your heart. You put me there and everything else will work out perfectly. That's why we're so tired, because we're taking this love that belongs to God and we're sharing it. Who told you to share it? That's God. Did God tell you to share it? That's just like you come in my house and you done gave the neighborhood half my apple pie without asking me. Who told you to share my pie? Now I'm upset. May I ask you to go get it back? God will. Who told you to give away my love? You go get it back. You give it back to me. I'm your first love. I'm your only love. You trust God with that love and see how he spreads it out. And it won't tear you down. That's why the enemy can tear our strength up, is because there's so many spaces between our love. It's separated. But if all that love was to God, he couldn't touch it. But you're putting spaces between it. You're giving some to God, some to man, some to the world. The enemy can come in anytime he wants and drain you. And you wonder why things aren't going your way. You can't serve God and mammon. Because the Bible says you're going to love one, agapio. You're going to be committed to one, and you're going to hate the other. Can't do it. You cannot separate your agapio love. Because you're going to either be committed to money and hate God. Because you're going to think God is taking your money. You're going to think God is asking for money too much. You're going to think it's God's fault that you're in a lot of debt, because you are committed to your money. You love your money. You put your money above everything else. You love it. You're committed to it. The Bible tells us that the love of money is what? All. Can you see why now? Because you love it. You're committed to it. And it will cause you to steal. It'll cause you to kill. It'll cause you to lie. It'll cause you to be depressed. It'll cause you to commit suicide. It will, because you think when your money is gone, life is over. Well, that's a lie. Because life is in God. But because you have sold out, because you're so committed to, consumed by, focused on, all your abilities are towards making more money. You have time for nothing else. You see why God said, you can't serve me in money too. Because all that energy you giving to money ought to be coming to me. And I can multiply. What in the world does money mean to God? The root, the love of it. Now let me give you a few scriptures where agapio is used in a negative sense. John 3:19, it says, men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They were committed to darkness. They were focused on darkness. They were consumed by darkness because their deeds were evil. John 12:43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. It meant more than them for men to praise them. That was their life. That meant more to them than the praise of God. If you came up here and they sung a beautiful song and you all didn't praise them, it'd almost kill them. Because that's the energy they thrive off. They love you worshiping them. Then Jesus says in Luke 4:3, woe unto you Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogue. Now when you see people come in, they always have to be up front and they always have to be in the pastor's face. Pray for them. That's a serious sin. Because their heart is committed to loving being out front. See, it really isn't funny. They don't know that sin has captured them. That they love that. And if they can't be in that position, it causes them to disrupt your whole congregation. Because they're going to start complaining and whining. And they're going to start lying. And they're going to start strife all up in the church. And then they're going to start getting on the pastor's nerve. And you know what happens after that. Because in their heart, they love it. They thrive. They love that more than serving God. And then 1 John 2:15 tells us what? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. See, it's saying, don't be committed, consumed by, focused on things in the world. Don't do that. Because that's taking away all that worship that belongs to me. Now, I'm hoping you sort of doing a little retrospecting here in your heart just to see where are you. And if you find yourself there, then all you have to do is adjust. God, forgive me, I didn't know. But now that I do know, I want the Holy Spirit to work agapeo in my heart so it can be towards you and you alone. That's the purpose of this message. So if I come to you and I ask you, do you love God? I'm asking you, are you focused on? Are you totally consumed by? Are you totally committed to, binded, one with God? That's what I'm asking you, a whole lot of stuff. You love God? Do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love God? See, I had to pause. It was a beautiful pause because all it helped me to do was adjust myself. And I'm going to tell you something. It's so much easier to follow one than to follow 50. I follow that one commandment. And I don't have to worry about 50 other things going on. Because, see, I don't know what to do. But I do know I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind. And I know what I'm saying. Amen. I know what I'm saying. The enemy cannot trick me. And when someone comes and asks you that question, you pause. You evaluate. And if it's at that moment that you're not quite sure, that you're out of, adjust yourself. Because God requires this of us. Now, let's talk about happiness. That's of the flesh. And if you're real, everyone is seeking happiness as their ultimate goal. Yes, they are. They want to please the flesh. It's all about you being happy. All about how you're going to look at the end result. If someone was treating you like dirt and you heard the voice of the Lord say, Charlene, if you love me, what I want you to do is to go and wash that sister's feet. You may think, but Lord, it's kind of hard. I didn't do anything. She's the one that hurt me. See, now you're putting your happiness first before God. Do you love God? And we're going to hear God asking us that question. But do you love me? He asked someone that question 3 times. Do you love me? It's not about your happiness. It's about loving God. And already, we have come up with the end result. But Lord, if I go do this, you can go tell everybody I was weak and, you know, and make it look like I was wrong. See what I'm saying? You saw the enemy get all up in your mind, but God's going, you can hear God say, but Charlene, do you love me? Do you love me, Charlene? Mm. And then you get to that point where you can say, Lord, I love you. And he's going to ask you to the point, he's going to bring you to tears. You can say, Lord, you know I love you. He's going to say, well, Charlene, if you love me, feed my sheep. And you're going to go. And you're going to do what the Lord instructed you to do. And what you thought the end result's going to be, it's going to be totally different. Because love covers a multitude of sins. You're going to have someone to see the error of their ways. You're going to have someone to repent before God and say, God, I'm sorry. I had no idea. See, true love will do that. And what God was trying to get you to do was to save a lost soul. But all you could do was think about your happiness. That's all we can do. And come on, are we all guilty? The sister talked yesterday. Ooh, what a message. Hard choices. You think you're not getting ready to have some hard choices? But the goodness of God, because now we can hear the voice of the Lord. You sure you want to continue to hear the voice of God? We're going to be given some hard choices. And if we get to a place where we're stuck, if we're still listening, we're going to hear God say, do you love me? Woo. And when the Lord talks to you, goes right to the heart, do you love me, Janice? Janice, do you love me? You're going to say, Father, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to your ways. I'm binded to you, Lord. I'm focused on you, Lord. I'm sold out. Heart, soul, and mind. I'll do it. I'll do it. And then you're going to do it with courage. You're not hiding. You're not going to go 12 o'clock midnight when everybody's asleep, driving up with your lights out, tipping on up to the door. Don't even want to ring the doorbell because you don't want to wake up the next door neighbor. You know, you're going to go with bold. You're going to go in the noon light, brightness. And you're going to knock on that door. And you're going to go in with Jesus' love. And you're going to say, I'm sorry. Whether you did anything or not. God didn't tell you to do all that. He said, go wash their feet. Whatever that may signify. And you're going to do it and you're going to say, forgive me. If I've done anything to hurt you, forgive me. I love Jesus. And the love of Jesus has required me to come here and say, forgive me. I mean it from my heart. I mean it from my heart. Will you forgive me? And as you release the love of God, it's going to consume you both. And God can then do his work. And a soul has been saved. Do you love him? Get ready to hear the voice of God. Where you're going to have to make some hard choices that will be made easy if you love God. Amen. It's not about you. It's not about your happiness. Mm-mm. We ought to be full of the joy of the Lord because we know where we're going. Amen. If we continue to obey the Lord our God. Now just think for a minute, because can you really say that you desire God's desire above your own happiness? You need to think about that now so you can be prepared, because it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Abraham loved God. When God came and said, Abraham, give me your son. Hard choice. But I know God asked him, do you love me? Abraham said, God, I love you. I'm going to sacrifice my son. He had already in his heart knew that if his son died, God was going to raise him back. Because he knew God loved him. He thought no other thought other than God had a way to heal that pain. Abraham loved God. His life is a testimony to it. He gave up his only son for a sacrifice. Hosea loved God. Hosea, I want you to go marry that prostitute. But Lord, I'm a holy man. What are the people going to say? They're going to think I've been tipping and dipping. They're going to think I've been hiding up in the temple. Lord, I can't do that. It's going to ruin my reputation. And besides, I don't want her. She's embarrassed me. She's humiliated me. She's made me a mockery in the whole town. And I'm important. That's what he could have said. He could have put himself first. Lord, the people, they won't understand. They're going to say, I didn't hear from God. But he know it did. So he put behind him, whether you believed or not, he heard God because he knew he did. He wasn't going to try to prove a thing. He agape your God. He loved him. And he obeyed God. And he married a prostitute. Sweet little Mary. 13 years old. Heard the voice of God. She said, God, thy will be done. Even though she knew she'd be rejected, talked about, made out to be a fool. You know how we can do. Oh, I'm in church every Sunday, Bible study, you know. And she pregnant. What business is that of yours? You don't know what God's doing in that situation. We love to run our mouths. We love to condemn, kill, and destroy works of the devil. Because we're so righteous. And our lives are so perfect. And everything's going well from A to Z. But yet we can get up and criticize. Talk about, bring down. Not even being concerned that we're destroying a soul. We're here to reconcile, not destroy. Mary loved God. She didn't care. She made up her mind, Lord, I don't care. It's a hard choice. But because I love you and I'm committed to you and I trust you and I'm focused on you, I'm going to obey you. And into the world came our Lord and Savior. Because a young girl said yes. She made a hard choice. Now you think about it. She made a hard choice. But because she loved God, she made the right choice. Yes, she did. Jesus in the garden. Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. This is hard. Lord, this is so hard. I know as a man what I'm about to experience, the pain, the humiliation, the laughing at, the mocking. My God, I know I can feel it already. Lord, if there's any other way, please show it to me. But if it's not, thy will be done. Because, Father, I love you, and I'm here to serve you, and I'm committed to your will for my life. Now listen to me. Because as I said, you need these examples. Because when you hear the voice, you can't sit there and contemplate it. You have to know in your heart whether you love God or not. Then you have to move. And I'm going to tell you something. God is good because he'll surround you with people who love him. Amen. And who will understand. And who will encourage you and support you and extol you. Yes, he will. Because we can't walk this walk alone. We cannot. We need someone that we can pray with and cry with and share with. You can't do this alone. They said, I know it's hard, but girl, I'm here with you. And sometimes we need to know we have someone that believe in us. That know we're not crazy. That know we heard from God. That know that we're on the right path. We need that. You can't always be around the naysayers. Are you crazy? Did you get more than 8 hours sleep? God told you what? Girl, I don't believe that. Because you know the scripture says. You ever been there? I think you misinterpreted the scriptures. But I know what I heard God say. Pray with me. Pray with me. Glory to God. And then we had the rich young ruler. Remember him? This is what we don't want to do. Serve God. God said he'd done it all, but one thing he hadn't. God told him that one thing. His moment had come. Here it is. Father, what's the one thing? He told him. He said sorrow came in his heart. He didn't love God. He didn't. He turned and he walked away. And the reason he was sad, because he knew he had messed up. But he loved money more than he loved God. You see the power there? He knew to do right, but he didn't have the strength. he walked away sadly. We don't want to be like the rich young ruler. Make it up in your mind there, even in your prayer time, in your fasting. God, work agapio in my heart. Don't walk away and forget this like a cute little lesson. This is real. And your season is coming, just like the rich young ruler, when he's going to ask you a thing. Whatever that thing is, he's going to ask you, Reggie, can you give it up for me? And it may take your breath away for a minute, but your heart's going to be full of the love of God. And you're going to hear the voice of God say, Reggie, but do you love me? You're going to say, yes, Father. He may have to ask us 10 times. But one thing about God, he will not stop asking until he gets the right answer. Isn't he good? So don't panic. Don't panic and shut down and not hear his voice. You lost then. His sweet voice will break it on down. He's so patient. He's so kind. What the Lord is trying to get us away from is this confusion we can have sometimes with this natural feel of love. Natural love, you know, emotional. Storge, I think that's the Greek word for it. Natural love. Girl, I just love you. You know, all that emotional stuff. Swinging from the right. You know what I'm saying? As long as we got balance. Because you can't do all that and then disobey God. We get that kind of love mixed up with this kind of love. Because we feel like we love God in our heart. You know how we do when we worship? We just feel the love of God in our heart. Don't get that mixed up with agapio. Because agapio love says you can feel it all you want, but will you do what I ask you to do? Are you committed to do my will? Will you obey when you hear my voice? So let's not think that we have come in and shown God our love because we've gotten emotional. You see what I'm saying? Don't think that's all he wants. He loves worship, but that's not all he wants. He said, now after that's done, will you obey me? I enjoy the worship. I enjoy you adoring me. That's priming the pump. He said, now let me talk to you. You know, it's just like if you go to someone's home, they're going to welcome you in and love you. And like Janice was saying the other day, her friend spread a table before. It makes you want to come back. Conversation is good. And then she'll say, Janice, I'm getting serious now. Can I talk to you for a minute? And she'll sit down and she'll have a one-on-one. And next thing you know, she'll put something before the table that's, oh, my goodness. But Janice, if you'll do this for me, it'll be all right. Now, you've done all that. You've eaten all her food, enjoyed all her conversation, and laughed at all her jokes. Now she's saying, can you give me $30,000? You got it. You got it. Now, who do you love more, the money of God? Because God's telling you, give it to him. Now, all of a sudden, the enemy put in your mind, but you know what, Janice? You better be careful, because, you know, somebody said a hurricane coming up in 2 weeks. You know, you may need that money to get you a new roof, you know. And, girl, don't forget the car. It's about time for you to get a checkup. And they may say, Janice, just get rid of the car. You may need a new one. You know, that's your nest egg. He put all these thoughts in you. And plus, Janice, don't forget, now, remember, somebody told you last week that she was talking behind your back. Don't forget this. That's how Satan sets us up. He sets us up. He'll get people to gossip about who God is sending you to for deliverance. That person is coming to you for deliverance, and God and already Satan and already started the mess. That's why you can be careful who you listen to. Someone called you gossiping about someone, just tell them, have a good day. Because that same person may be the one knocking on your door in 1 hour for help. And why are they coming to you? Because God sent them, just like he sent who did he send to Cornelius' house? He sent Paul, did he not? Peter. Already told him he's coming. So that's why we got to be careful that we don't allow the enemy to fill our hearts with hate and dislike. Because you don't know, it might be that same person you have to minister, and your heart has to be pure and clean. Hard choices. Hard choices. So as we come before the Lord and worship him and love him and adore him and just enjoy ourselves in worship, get ready. Because as we sit down to have a little one-on-one chat with the Lord, he's going to say some things to your heart. And you're going to have to make a decision. Do you love him? And you're going to make the Father's heart so glad. He's going to say, because not only do they worship me, they listen to me, and now they're going out to do what I asked them to do. That's loving God. That's loving God. Your heart is set to do what's right. It's all about self-denial. Don't let Satan fool you, making you think that your emotional feelings for God is saying, I love you, Lord. He wants a little more than that. He said to obey me is better than any type of sacrifice. Obey me. Be committed to me. Be ready to make the hard choices because they're coming. And it's not about you. Deny yourself. He said so eloquently in the word in Matthew 16:24. Says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Lose yourself and serve God. Don't let your emotions take over. I'm not telling you to go around like a mindless robot. Don't mayor go to the left. Don't mayor go to the right. I'm not telling you to do that. God gave us common sense, did he not? But all I'm asking you to do is to set aside your own thoughts, your own emotion, and your desires that are contrary to God. Do you love God? Do you love him? Do you love God? Are you committed to, focused on, sold out to, one with him, committed to do his will unconditionally? Do you love him? Do you love him? It costs to serve the Lord. His love is costly. Oh, but the rewards. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. He did. He had help to carry that cross. We need help sometime, as I said before. We all going to have a cross soon. But pick it up. Call for help if you need it. Girl, pray me through this. I know I heard the voice of the Lord, and it's a hard thing for me. But pray me through this. And God's going to send somebody with you to help you carry that cross. And you're going to reach your destination, and you're going to fulfill the will of God in that particular incident. But straighten up, because you're going to have to go back and get another cross. Daily. But all you're doing is getting stronger, stronger. Fear has no place in this walk. Faith. Faith. Are you hearing the voice of God? I bind all fear in Jesus' name. I bind all fear right now in Jesus' name. And I release confidence. I release joy. I release courage to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Stop being afraid to do the will of God. Stop it. Stop being afraid. You're hindering God's plan and purpose in your life. Stand to your feet. Stop being afraid. I sense so many of you are afraid, and that's why you're stuck. You've heard the voice of God. Yes, it may be a hard choice, but you have to do what's right if you love God. If you love God.